brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
You are very, very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast, brought to you in association with the very wonderful people of Currency Fair. They are currencyfair.com. On today's show, we have an absolute cracker for you with the very wonderful Leah Leendertz. Before we get there, however, should you be wondering, and you should wonder, and if you don't wonder, it's about time you should wonder, what on God's earth do Currency Fair do that they are able to give such a good-looking guy like me with a great face for radio some of their hard-earned shekels? Well, what they do, let's say you listen to the interview that I did with Catherine MacDonald at this year's Chelsea Flower Show. Now, Catherine had an absolute whopper of a Hartley Botanic glasshouse. Glasshouse? This thing is a small home. That's exactly what it is. She had it on Main Avenue, Chelsea. Now, let's say, for example, and I don't know how much they cost. I think it's a lot more than I earn per annum. But let's say it's £50,000 sterling and I want to buy that in euros. Well, if I go to currencyfair.com and I type in 50,000 GBP, which is, I gather, sterling, that will cost me €58,020.25, which Currency Fair tells me you pay €1,698.75 less. Does anybody have a calculator to see how many pints of Guinness that is? Where is my phone? This is unbelievable stuff, Jeff. Hold on a second. Just stay with me on this telephone here. Let's see how much of a party we could actually have. Search phone. I can't even use a telephone. Calculator. Okay, I have it here. Just bear with me, right? So that's €1,698.75 divided by 4.10. That's 414.329268 pints of Guinness. 414 pints of Guinness. You need to let that sink in. Okay, listen. They are at Currency Fair on Twitter. They are actually. You may not need to buy a greenhouse, but go listening back to that interview with Catherine MacDonald probably isn't the worst thing you ever did after this show. However, actually, of recent, with Rob Hardy on the phone. Let's say you want to buy some plants from Hardy's Plants and get them shipped to Ireland. You could do that. Let's say you listened to last week's show with Matthew Potash, and let's say you want to go to RHS Wisley. You could book your hotel with Currency Fair. You could not only book your hotel with Currency Fair, you could book your membership for the Royal Horticultural Society and pay that through Currency Fair, and that would save you a few bob. Because if you remember correctly, when I paid my membership for the Garden Media Guild, let me see where that one is. Do I have it here? Load, you pup. Yeah, when I paid my membership for the Garden Media Guild, which was €80, the saving was €24.62. That's not bad. That's at least three drinks a piece. No, not everything comes back down to drink. Okay, it's five bags of compost. Okay, to be politically correct, it's five bags of organic compost. That should keep some people on Twitter a little bit happy, shouldn't it? Yeah, save the earth. Save yourself a few bob. Do it through Currency Fair. Everybody is chicken dinner. Let's get to today's guest, because this lady is an absolute legend. Her name is Leah Leendertz, and she wants to do something just a little bit different. Take a listen to this.
And with your help, I want to create an annual publication called The New Almanac. It will be a reinvention of the Rural Almanac, a celebration of the months and the seasons and of this country's traditions, old and new. The New Almanac will ensure that you never miss a strawberry moon or the first asparagus spears of the season. It will help you to have armfuls of cut flowers each year and make sure that you know the best days for beach combing and the peak moment of every meteor shower.
But here's the bit that I really like. Listen to this bit.
I love this, and I want to find more ways of feeling linked to the land and to the months. But when I looked for a publication like this, it didn't seem to exist. This will be the book that I was looking for. It'll be small and beautiful.
Isn't that just absolutely beautiful? When I was trying, and when I heard this story first come up, and all I could think in my head was the day I went out on my own in business at 24, 25 years of age, and some people giggled. And I thought about the day I started the podcast, and I remember asking people would they like to come on the show, and no disrespect to them, it's logic to react in that way, but it was no, you're grand, thanks, we might just leave that now, for we're a bit busy at the minute. And I'm kind of going, you're in the middle of a worldwide recession, mate. I know Leah and the Sod Show are non-comparable, but there is a requirement there for you to love, grow, to use the Irish word, a grow. So it's stronger than a love. It's a passion. It's a yearning. It's a drive. It's a little bit more poetic. There's substance there about that. That's something that she has created that you said, I need to write you poetry in return from my heart. And that's it. And you're doing it and you're supporting her. And I really genuinely have to congratulate you. Equally, while I'm on this poetic moment, and I don't want to take away from the sincerity of that, but when I turn around and say that Currency Fair have stood by my side or decided to stand by my side in the same way that Leah maybe needs people to do that, it is, and if you can, and while we're at this moment, press the middle button on your iPhone and send Currency Fair a wee little note on Twitter saying, lads, nice one. We enjoyed today's show because it is them. I know it's me and I know it's you, but it's them that's making this one and the one before it and the one before it and the one next week with Perennial. But they are the ones that are making it possible. Please go do that for me. We'll chat soon. Enjoy the show. We'll see you on the other side.
Brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Leah, for those who are not aware, what do you do for a living? Or what did you do in the past? Because you have a very long bio, if I was to type it into Twitter for you, it would exceed the character limit.
I suppose so, but it's fairly straightforwardly writing about gardens, actually, in various different ways. So that's what I do, write about gardens, and have written about food a little bit more recently. I've been doing that for years and years, sometimes working for magazines, and then more recently, last 10 years or so, freelance, and that's what I do now.
Where did it all start, Leah? Were you into gardening as a kid? Did you do that kind of thing? Did you work in garden centres?
I wasn't at all interested in gardening as a kid, actually. I really did that classic thing of getting into gardening once I'd left home, and I had a little rented house of my own with a tiny, tiny garden, and I just started buying bedding plants and filling up and really enjoying it. And from there, I decided that I wanted to find out a bit more about it. So I went to college and studied very luckily at Edinburgh Botanic Gardens, which was amazing. And actually, I worked in a couple of the Edinburgh gardens over at Logan and at Edinburgh, but then kind of got interested in writing about gardening while I was there. I volunteered at the Plantsman while I was there, because that was being published from Edinburgh at the time, and then got a job straight after college as a trainee journalist at the Garden magazine, the RHS Garden magazine, and it's all sort of gone from there, really. That was just a fabulous job, and I just kept on writing and really enjoying it. And that's my very niche little job that I've got, but it's great. It suits me.
Am I correct in saying that you were you describe it as the gardening agony aunt for the Guardian newspaper?
Oh, well, I used to be. I did that for about 10 years. I wrote a column in the Guardian's weekend magazine. I don't do that anymore, but I now write a Saturday gardening column for the Telegraph. Not at the Guardian anymore, but the Telegraph now.
Okay, so we would have had Jane Perrone on the show. You would obviously know
I do.
Jane.
I know her very well. Yes.
Okay. Let's sidetrack then, because you came up on my radar in short because you have a new book coming out. It's not a book, it's what you would call an almanac. I haven't heard that word used since I first watched Back to the Future so many moons ago.
That's fantastic, I'll have to look at that. Well, exactly, I mean, that's kind of partly it. It's this, I sort of stumbled across it almost as a word that seems sort of ripe for reclaiming, really, and reinventing. It's, you know, there are almanacs out there, obviously, there's lots of very successful Old Moore's Almanac and Old Farmer's Almanac, things like that. But it struck me as a really great word, and that one that it doesn't seem to sort of belong to anyone. And it's kind of out there. And I realised that what I would like is something that fulfills the purpose of an old almanac. So someone's just said actually on Twitter, the measure of things is what it's about, the measure of things. So it's about like the sunrise and sunset, the information that's of what's going on month by month, year by year, but also at the same time that kind of discusses the month in itself and what it means and what it feels like, and the festivities that are associated with it. So really it's a kind of sort of a summing up of the month, really, a kind of how to enjoy this month to its fullest. And that's kind of come out of a feeling that, you know, life, the years and the seasons can just sort of pass you by sometimes. If you're stuck in an office and you're in a city and all that, all of this stuff can, you know, what's the difference between July and May and December? You know, these are the things that make it different if you are aware of what's going on around you. So that it's really about that. It's about the flavor of each month and kind of giving people lots of different ways that they can kind of explore the seasons themselves, giving people tools really to explore the seasons themselves.
Well, let's go a bit further into that, because my library, my bookshelf is stacked with books. And when I was going through college, a lot of the books that I bought, they didn't have photographs of colour in them. They're ones that I bought for 50p and a euro, and they would, as I have said when I was doing garden talks before, the opening line in them was, in one of them in particular, was that you should start by digging the ground two foot deep. And it's probably based around 1940s, and it reminds me of that era of my grandfather, who I would have first sown radish seeds with. And he kind of did gardening in a shirt and tie and a jumper with no sleeves on it, and a suit jacket on it, and it's a little bit that. But all of the books around that era, Leah, all seem to tell me, you know, this is what you should do in the garden in January, this is what you should do in the garden in February. And, you know, in February it was prune forsythia, and it was, you know, scarify your lawn, and it was blah, 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 blah. Is that the kind of thing that you're leaning on?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think actually it's interesting, because probably us who are involved in gardening are, I think, we have to be connected to the seasons. Because no way that you can garden without it. You know, and the seasons are so different, so extreme, that we are actually very connected to the seasons. I most probably am a lot more so than my non-gardening neighbours. So in a way, it's kind of taking that, exactly what you're saying, and translating it to other areas of life so that other people can kind of find a way in to experiencing that seasonality that we as gardeners kind of experience just as a matter of course. So I think it is.
And for those who are not aware, you have written, I think it's, four or five books, or you have four or five books published with your name on it?
9 or 10 now, yeah.
Wow, 9 or, gee. that makes you a little bit more popular than me. So what the difference on this one, however, is to me that it seems that the others were published in the way in which books are usually published. This one is being done in a very different way.
It is, yes. This one I am crowdfunding via a fantastic company called Unbound. And they are sort of half crowdfunders and half publishers. So should I explain a little bit about crowdfunding, or do you think your listeners know what crowdfunding is? Essentially, rather than the company pays you to do that, which normally with a publisher, you would go with an idea and they would say, okay, we'll give you this advance and you do the book for the advance. And in this case, with this idea, they've liked it. But now what happens is that we go out to the public, really, out to everyone out there and say, if you like this idea, we need you to support it. So what people are doing currently, and we're over halfway there now, which is amazing, pre-buying a copy of this book. So essentially they're kind of putting their faith in this book being a lovely thing when it arrives. And I think that seems to have caught people's imagination. People seem to like it, seem to realize that it is something a bit different and seem to be going for it, which is a really exciting way of doing it. Actually, it's exhausting, but it's also really lovely because you make these connections with your readers before the book is actually even made. So I'm enjoying it.
Well, let's put this in context, because I've got unbound.com, for those who are listening. That's where you go, unbound.com, and it's called the New Almanac. I say Almanac, you say Almanac.
I think you're saying it like Armagnac, the drink, Almanac. Without the nya. You say it how you like, that's fine.
Well, when I worked in Scotland, they used to get me to say 33 and a third all the time, and I never understood why they found it so hilarious, but apparently the ladies liked it, and we leave that for another day. However, back to book matters, Leah. It's telling me here on unbound.com that I can get a digital edition of it for €15, and I can pledge that there, or is it £15 as well?
I think it's £10.
And then I can get a hardback copy, which is how I would prefer it, for €25, and like a collectible for €45 for 65. So it goes from 15 to 65 quid. When you first did this, and you kind of said, look, I'm going to try this, was it kind of nervy because, how do I say this? To translate, the Sideshow is sponsored by Currency Fair, and I know Sideshow has big fans, and this isn't to big up Currency Fair, or not to big them up, sorry, and I'm being over apologetic here, but when the Sideshow gets sponsored and you like think that you're, you know, the presenter of Top of the Pops or a program on the BBC, you know there's an audience out there because you're told all of that. But it's only when you turn around and say, well, will you buy a Sideshow t-shirt, or will you sponsor, or will you support Currency Fair or sponsoring the Sideshow, that then you get the phone call saying, well, only four people sent us a note. In your context, did you find that there was an element of, oh, day one, oh God, only one person has, oh, four of them?
There have been days like that. It's the, actually, day one was amazing. I think the classic crowdfunding, the way things classically go is that you get a big whoosh at the beginning, and then at about 30%, you sort of go into the doldrums. So all of your initial supporters, your mum and your auntie and all of those, they've all put their money in, and then you sort of go and you have to kind of plow on through until you get to about 70%, and apparently it's 70% that it looks likely to happen, and then there's this big whoosh at the end again. So we're still in that kind of tricky period of just keeping on to get to the point where lots of people will see that it's definitely going to happen and will pile in. But you can pile in any moment you like. Please do.
Is it a nervy thing, Leah? Is it, if you don't mind me saying, because let's take the music analogy rather than the Currency Fair sponsoring the Sideshow thing. But, but you know, I know the music industry in its entirety has changed. I know now that it's not a case of how many albums you play or sell. It's the record deal that you get for five albums, as let's say when the Stones first came out, or around the time of the Hendrix kind of era, let's go back there. But when you go to modern day, it's, you know, almost too many songs you get played on Spotify. It's now the bands, the music guys that I would know, are telling me, no, it's not even that, Peter. It's the record deal is being signed in with a package on the merchandise and the tours, and because they're not making their money anymore on vinyl sales, and even digital sales have changed entirely. Is there something in all of this where the days of book publishing or print publishing has changed, that you've had to go and do this?
Yeah, well, certainly writing gardening books is not a great route to fantastic riches, I would say that. And I think that, you know, it is getting harder. It's getting harder and harder if you're, you know, not Jamie Oliver, and, you know, if you're not on telly and things like that. So I think to a certain extent, people have to find different ways, different routes And this is a different route, and it's something that I just wanted to try because it does feel like, you know, you've got more control, and you know, more control in the end product, and, you know, more payback once I've, you know, raised this money. You know, there will be a greater kind of degree of involvement. And so, yeah, I think this is, I mean, it's all still early days, I think, with this kind of crowdfunding and self-publishing. But it does feel like it's quite a hard way to earn a living now through traditional publishing. And so this might just be a different way of finding a new way to do it.
Assuming that the book achieves its full support, which I gather it will, what happens next for those people who pay that €45, £40, £65 in?
They will have to then hang on until October. We're aiming for October 2017 to get the book out because it's as an almanac from throughout 2018. So it needs to be sort of in shops and in people's hands by October 2017, so it will kick in sort of January, if you see what I mean. So though the people that have just bought the book will have to wait until it is produced in 2018, and they will, in 2017, and they will then receive their copy of it. And then, but there's other levels of reward on the crowdfunding site. So there is a gardening club where we're supplying a big chunk of seeds from either Higgledy Garden or from Otter Farm, and I'm going to be sending people, the members of the club, recipes and ideas for what to do, so that will kick in. And there's other things like some prints. My mum is an artist and she's put up some beautiful allotment prints on the site that people can buy for £55, and they will get sent out straight away. So I think if it's just the book, it will be October 2017, but the other rewards will start to trickle through as soon as we've hit the target, if we do.
Well, we will assume that you do. You mentioned briefly there Otter Farm. Mark Diacono is a former guest of the show and a very sprightly dressing gentleman as well, I should add. What's your relationship with Mark, can I ask, Leah?
We have written several books together. Mark's been the photographer on a couple of books that I've written, and he's a great friend of mine. He's been brilliant through this crowdfunding because, of course, done a load of crowdfunding himself for Otter Farm, where they're setting up their fantastic kitchen garden school. So he knows all about that. So he's been doing that. And he has offered to help me with this gardening club, so edible gardening club we're doing with him. And I'm supplying the recipes to all of the people that come into the club. And then Higgledy Garden has also come in. He is a another seed company that specializes in cut flowers. So I've got the cut flower gardening club with Higgledy Garden and the edible gardening club with Otter Farm.
All right. So if for those listening and you are not aware, if you want to go back as soon as you're, well, when this interview is over, if you want to go back and listen to the interview with Mark Diacono, it is, of course, available in iTunes, or just go to sodshow.com or at Sodshow on Twitter and I'll send you a link for that. Let's sidetrack just slightly from the book. What's an average Saturday, Sunday for you when you're not, doing what is inverted commas work?
Well, I've got two kids and so they take a lot of kind of sorting out over the weekend. And so I'm washing uniforms and sorting them out and practicing piano and things like that. We also try to get up to the allotment every Sunday. We're not up there today because it's been raining. But we do try to. We've got an allotment which is just two streets away from us. And they have a whole kind of gang of friends whose parents also have allotments nearby on the same site. So we try and coordinate with them and all get up there around the same time. So we're all on our separate plots, but the kids all roam around, which is really nice because we're in Bristol and they don't have that kind of countryside lifestyle at all. But when they're up there, they can go and swing on the tree swing, and it's a really nice kind of pretend countryside for us.
Hey, here's a question for you though, because you wrote a book called A Half Hour Allotment, and that was your first book. So do people look at you and go, "Oh, look at your one. Gee, look at your one lean dirts over there with our fancy stuff with all our jeepers." Or do they, or when your plot goes a little bit too pot, if you don't mind me saying, and that's allowed happen, it can be just waiting to collect it, but do they turn around and go, "Ah, look at your woman over there"?
No, I get properly told off by the committee, and I think they read the Telegraph and they go, hang on a minute. They're really trying to keep me about, because it's tricky with kids. I mean, you're away for a lot of the summer, and of course the summer when the allotment needs an awful lot of attention. So it needs a little bit of TLC right now, and my Telegraph reading committee is not too impressed at this moment in time, but we'll get there. We might tend generally to sort of pull it back from the brink over the winter, and then it all falls apart again in the summer. There's another book in that, I think, about how to manage.
Well, you did write another book on allotment. So here's the question, being that now I will call you the allotmenteer expert. What are you growing on your allotment at this moment in time?
The thing that's been the greatest success for me this year is tomatoes, actually. I've had an amazing year for tomatoes. But I think we got, we sort of redid our polytunnel borders at the beginning of the year and put in a load of manure. And I think that's what's done it. Planted them into quite well-rotted manure. And then kind of abandoned them, really. And they've kind of hung on. And then, really got established and produced incredible crops on, very, very little looking after while we've been away and stuff. And so that has been my main triumph, really. And I think the only thing I can put it down to is just tons of manure and a nice, newly manured border in the polytunnel. Lots of apples, of course, loads and loads of apples at the moment. That's not hard.
No, it's not at all. I used to call growing fruit the cheater's guide to growing your own, how to look great by doing absolutely nothing. As a by the way, for those of you who have gardening clubs, if you go to Leah's page, which you can send that side show a note on, we'll sort that out for you. But for £250 sterling, I should have you know, Leah will give a talk about her new Almanac to your book club or gardening club, and she will also throw in a gardening Q&A at the end if you fancy it. That's £250. Now, to put that in context for you, the last gardening talk that I did, I think I was paid the handsome sum of about €350. So £250 is pretty damn good value for those listening out there if you are in the UK and you want Leah to do it. Now, in euros, that's a funny one, because I doubt Leah on her 200
plus plus it does say plus expenses, I'm afraid.
Leah, if people want to read more about you, you are in the Telegraph, is that article weekly?
Yes, it is. That's on a Saturday morning in the gardening section.
Okay. You are at Leah Leendertz on Twitter. Let me see if I can find that correct spelling for you. Here we go. It's Leah Leendertz, L-E-E-N-D-E-R-T-Z is the name. Again, at Sideshow on Twitter. The spelling of Donegan can even be a matter of...
I'll be impressed if anyone finds...
I would be impressed if anybody finds me as well, Leah, but there we go. On a side note, I should add, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Leah. If people want to...
And you.
Thank you so much. You're the first lady to say that to me this weekend. The website is there again, at Sideshow on Twitter. We'll send you on all the links. And Leah, you'll come back on and let us know as soon as the book is published.
I would love to. Thank you. That would be fantastic.
Thank you so much, Leah Leendertz. And best of wishes with the Almanac, as I pronounce it. And we look forward to talking to you shortly.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Take care. On. Bye-bye. And that was the very wonderful Leah Leendertz. If you are stuck for any of the information that you heard on today's show, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow, or just head to sideshow.com, you'll find all of the show notes, the links, how to find the Unbound, how to get in touch with Leah. Just press the middle button on your iPhone now and head there. In the meantime, if you are heading there, you'll also see a wee little logo on the right hand side. It says Currency Fair, the better way to save you money when sending money abroad, or some such. Go there, see if you can. You'll also see a little embedded tweet in today's show notes. Go check that out. Send them a reply to that one. Wish them all the best, because without them, we genuinely would not have had the last three episodes, this number three of their sponsoring. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of Currency Fair. It has been an absolute honour and a privilege to have you standing by my side. Equally, I should also give a shout out to you. To you who have been buying the first official merchandise Sideshow t-shirts. available in blue and green. And Niall apparently wants one in black, and Fiona wants one in white, and everything's going a little bit contrary. In the meantime, have a great weekend, the great outdoors. Thank you. Thank you, Currency Fair. Slán. Take care. Bye-bye.